takes.
And you kind of
appreciate it.
Specific.
Heartbreaking fashion.
You stay up. 3 inches.
Raise 10-0. You can.
Listening to the Imaginary Radio Show.
Oh, if you'd like to for the for a Christmas episode, we'll go over my Slovakian Christmas Eve dinner tradition.
Yes. Oh, let's
hear. Anyway, this is passed down from my grandmother. Well, actually, my grandmother's Ukrainian, so I guess it's probably Ukrainian tradition. But it's probably from that whole area. They're all right next door to each other. Slovakia, Ukraine—it's all the same. It really is. If you.
I don't know if they feel that way.
I was talking to my priest the other day who's from Ukrainian, and I was telling him that, you know, I'm Slovakian and all this stuff, my heritage, and he was like, yeah, it's all the same. Like, the borders in that area have changed so many times. Parts of Slovakia were once Ukraine, parts of Ukraine were once Slovakia. Like, it is, like, all the same.
There is no more Yugoslavia.
You know, I'm big in Slovakia.
Really?
I don't know if you heard, they built statues of It's true.
Anyway, so this is the tradition, and there is meaning behind it. Every Christmas Eve, we have a very simple dinner. But before we have the dinner, there's another part of the tradition. The first part is you take a clove of garlic, and you dip it in salt, and then you have to eat that. And I guess that's to remind you of, like, the bitterness in life and, you know. And then afterwards, you eat a piece of bread with honey on it, which is supposed to remind you of the sweetness that, like, Jesus brings into the world. Because this is, it's a religious tradition from that area. So then you'd eat that, and then everybody would pray. And then we would eat for dinner. We would have, like, I don't even remember what it's called, this, like, cabbage and, like, bean kind of, like, thing. Like, it was okay, but it's like, if you haven't been eating these sorts of things since, like, you were a kid, like, you would not like it at all. Like, it
sounds like a fart on a plate.
Yeah, probably. We would have, like, pierogies and maybe, like, a piece of fish with, like, no seasoning, just, like, boiled fish and prunes. And this was our traditional, like, we would do this every single Christmas Eve. And I've kept it up because, you know, although not a lot of people would understand why it's significant, it's like a piece of family history for me. That's something that, like, we did. But I've never heard of anybody else doing any, like, people from, like, my ethnic background don't have anything like that in their history. And I don't know, does anybody else have, like, do other cultures have, like, a special thing that they do, like, a special dinner on Christmas Eve? Because I know that we did.
No.
If you do, listeners, email us at imaginaryradio@optonline.net.
Or
Facebook us.
Or
Tweet us.
At
I don't know.
Imaginary Radio Show 0?
Yeah.
Look at that.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, no, we don't have anything crazy. Italians, they always eat pasta or something.
There are different.
No, Italians, I know that I think they're one of the only ones that I was actually able to identify that do have a traditional thing that not everybody does it, but they have, like, a thing that some of them do on Christmas Eve.
I
couldn't tell you.
Oh.
But I remember.
You'd have to kill you.
Because I was looking up because I was curious as to whether anybody else had a tradition, and I couldn't find anything about my tradition or about anything else besides, like, Italians have, like, a Christmas Eve
tradition. Italians don't put pasta and bread on the table at the same time.
Carbo-loading.
They consider pasta bread. And you're only supposed
to
have one thing. Yeah, I know, but it's just, like, it's weird.
Alicia's laughing at me because I screwed up the saying. Like, because Chuck wouldn't tell you. He's like, I couldn't tell you. I said, you'd have to kill you first. That didn't make any sense. What kind of Italians am I talking about?
I'll kill you first, and then I'll tell you, I'll lecture your dead corpse about all my secrets.
Oh, God.
Please keep in touch with the show via email at imaginaryradio@optonline.net. And look us up on Facebook.
Riuscì la Guararibera. Yo squadro è lobo dello stracordera. Yo squadro è lobo dello stracordera. Riuscì la Guararibera. Yo squadro è lobo dello stracordera. Yo squadro, el lobo de nuestra cordera.
El lobo rabioso la quiso morder, mas Díaz poderoso la supo defender. Quisole hacer que no pudiese pecar, y an original es tu virgen no tuviera.
Riu, riu, shiu, la guarda ribera. Yo squadro, el lobo de nuestra cordera.
Esta que es nacido es el gran monarca, Cristo patriarca de carne vestido, y a nos redimido con ser chiquito, aunque infinito, finito se hiciera.
Riu, riu, shiu, la guarda ribera.
Yo squadro, el lobo
de nuestra cordera. Yo squadro, el lobo de nuestra cordera.
There are different traditions, I don't know about dinner, but like in different cultures, I don't remember exactly, but like Dutch and German and stuff like that, they'll leave, especially the Dutch, they'll leave the little wooden clogs out, and that's where they get their toys and stuff.
Well, because that's actually...
where it started.
Yeah, where it started.
Yeah.
So that's actually closer to home than... Yeah, that's actually closer to home than the... than the Americanized version, I guess.
How about the pickle in the tree? Anyone ever hear of that?
I've heard of that, but I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, there's a tradition.
What?
Your interest has peaked. You're like, whoa, pickle in the tree.
Where someone will hang a pickle ornament or whatever in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that every year.
And whoever finds the pickle ornament, like, wins or something.
Never heard of that.
I never heard of that.
What about the Christmas tree spike?
What?
There's like, it's another tradition I don't know anything about. But you would hang like a, like it's a really rough looking, like an old fashioned looking nail, like made out of metal that you hang on the tree. And there's supposed to be some sort of significance to this, but I don't know why.
A nail from the cross.
Yeah, maybe. I'm guessing maybe that's it, but I couldn't tell you for sure whether that's it. But
he'd have to kill you first. Chuck's going around telling all these dead people.
That's like the new, that's a new inside joke. He'd have to kill you first.
I guess so.
Oh, boy. No, I don't have anything.
It's supposed to be, but then I'd have to kill you.
I know. But, I mean...
Yeah, I think we all know that now. I have to excuse myself for a second. Be right back.
Why don't you find out the history of the Christmas pickle?
And the Christmas tree spike.
Now, I'm looking up the Christmas tree spike right now, but it's not what he was talking about, what I'm finding here. Oh, find up. Find up? I will.
Yeah,
look
why
up
are you finding
by finding
up?
The Christmas pickle instead.
I want to say it's German.
Sounds German.
Yep, it's German.
Hey!
German myth number 11, the German Christmas pickle. All right.
Why don't you read it out loud for our listeners.
The German Christmas pickle tradition, myth or reality, it never fails. Every December, someone asks about the German Christmas pickle ornament that's supposed to have a long tradition in Germany. Here's the pickle legend, in quotes, from one website. A very old Christmas Eve tradition in Germany was to hide a pickle ornament deep in the branches of a family Christmas tree. The parents hung the pickle last after all the other ornaments were in place. In the morning, they knew the most observant child would receive an extra gift from St. Nicholas. The first adult who finds the pickle traditionally gets good luck for the whole year. This Christmas pickle story, with a few minor variations, can be found all over the web and in print inside the ornament package. It says that Germans hang a pickle-shaped glass ornament on the Christmas tree hidden away so it's difficult to find. The first child to find it on Christmas morning gets a special treat or an extra present. Of course, anyone familiar with German Christmas customs can see the flaws in this legend. First of all, the German Saint Nick doesn't show up on Christmas Eve. He arrives on the 5th or 6th of December. Nor do German children open their presents on Christmas morning. That happens on Christmas Eve in Germany. See our German Christmas guide for more about German Christmas customs. Blah, blah, blah. But the biggest problem with the German pickle... Oh, and then they say the thing in German. Something Gurke. Weihnachtsgurke.
Why not a gherkin?
So a German awesome tradition is that no one in Germany seems to have ever heard of it. Over the years, this question has repeatedly come up on this German teachers forum. Teachers of German in the U.S. and in Europe have never been able to find a native German who has even heard of the pickle legend, much less carried out this Christmas custom. It may have been some German-American invention by someone who wanted to sell more glass ornaments for Christmas. Or could the Weihnachtsgurke be an obscure regional custom that few people are aware of? And then there's an entire paragraph in German, which I'm not even going to attempt.
It was, why a pickle?
Yeah, I don't know.
So some American went to Germany and he's like, you know, I'm going to make these ornaments. All right, I'm just going to tell everybody, oh, this is a German tradition. Like, you have to buy these pickles.
German went to America.
There's more.
You said an American went to Germany.
Oh, I was just assuming
and
that.
And killed them first. Mm-hmm. A number of years ago, when she was about Germany for Visitor's Guide, Rita Mace Walston, wrote an article about the Christmas pickle ornament tradition. Despite her German background, she had also never heard of it. She wrote, I did some first-hand research asking friends, acquaintances, and even a few Christmas market vendors if they knew of the custom. I consulted my family in Bavaria, my best friend in Swabia, and folks who hailed from the different regions of Germany. No one had a clue as to what I was talking about. One acquaintance wanted to know if I wasn't trying to pull one over on her. Then, Rita heard from someone who claimed to have an answer that might solve the mystery. A descendant of a soldier who fought in the American Civil War, John Lauer, and then in parentheses Hans Lauer, born in Bavaria in 1842, wrote to tell about a family story that had to do with a Christmas pickle. According to family lore, John Lauer was captured and sent to prison in Andersonville, Georgia. In poor health and starving, he begged a guard for just one pickle before he died. Okay. The guard took pity on him and found a pickle for John Lauer. According to family legend, John said that the pickle, by the grace of God, gave him the mental and physical strength to live on. Once he was reunited with his family, he began a tradition of hiding pickle on the Christmas tree. First person who found the pickle on Christmas morning would be blessed with a year of good fortune. Whether this... It just keeps going on. But anyway.
But okay, so it could be rooted in truth.
You gonna get a pickle for your tree?
No.
I don't know, I am part German.
Forgotten promises fall.
My cousins came over last night, and we were talking about stuff we did when we were kids. And I don't know how we got on the subject, but I guess I feel like kids today don't maybe have as much of an imagination. Like they, I don't know if it's because they are all into video games or whatever. Like, in my experience, I've noticed that kids don't usually play outside as much, or they don't use their imagination to create their own games and stuff like that and do stuff. But my cousins reminded me of, they said, do you remember when we used to, at grandma's house, we used to jump off the porch and we used to yell, Jesus, Holy Mary, and God. And we would jump off the porch and then we would pretend that we were those.
Are you serious? I missed that.
We would pretend that we were them. Crazy. And we were like superheroes looking out for, like, to fight crime. And we would go in the backyard in this one area and like, there was, I guess, like an area where there was weeds or whatever, or like higher grass. We would stand in there like we were in clouds, like looking for people that we could help and save. Like, holy cow, I don't remember this at all. I know how.
I'll tell you, that's a really nice, innocent game, though. I'll tell you. That's a lot nicer than a lot of games some kids were playing.
I guess so. I played the part of Jesus. And I couldn't, I mean, I can't remember that at all.
I remember me and my friend Rob. This is when you, again, when you're a kid and you don't have a lot of money and you don't have video games and stuff like that. At lunch, after we're done eating lunch, we took their sandwiches were wrapped in Reynolds wrap. So we would take the Reynolds wrap and make a ball out of it. And then we invented a game with the Reynolds wrap ball.
What was the game?
You had to catch it. If you caught it with one hand, you got 2 points. If you caught it with two hands,
you got
1 point. And then if you tried to catch it with two hands and you dropped it, you lost 2 points.
All right.
We were very bored.
You jumping off the stairs reminds me of an excellent story in my history where we were over my aunt's, and at the time she used to live in this in this condo, and it was weird the way it was designed because it was like it was on a hill so that there was actually two doors right next to each other, but one of the doors led downstairs into the downstairs condo,
right,
which was actually, if you were at front of the house, would be under the hill.
Right.
And the other one would be on top, which would be...
the top part?
Yeah, the top condo. My aunt had the top condo, and in the back she had a long staircase going down to the ground because it was on the slope of a hill. So the back side, she was way up there. The only way to get up there was with a gigantic flight of stairs. So she had these stairs, and we were all taking turns of climbing up the side of the stairs and jumping off. So anyway, everybody's doing this, right? So me trying to like impress my cousins, whatever, I decided to go to the top of the stairs and jump off from there. And I land right on my side, and I break my wrist.
Oh,
and that's the only bone I've ever broken was from that because of something stupid I did. So that should give you a lesson. Don't jump off stairs. It's not a good idea.
Oh, man.
Maybe it would be better if you yelled, like, God.
Or... yeah, maybe. Maybe I wouldn't have done it. But it was funny because, it was the fact that, like, I knew that I had done, like, I had definitely done some damage because it was hurting, real bad. But I was trying to act like everything was okay because also I didn't want to tell my dad what I was doing because I was scared I was going to be in trouble for jumping off the stairs because, I knew I shouldn't have been doing, everybody knew they shouldn't have been doing that.
Yeah.
But now that I got hurt, was like, I would kind of have to tell them.
Yeah.
So I didn't tell my dad because we were at, like, a party or something until the end of the party. That, I think I really hurt my wrist. And my dad, like, goes over to touch it, and I just start, like, screaming. He's like, you probably broke your wrist, We're going right to the doctor right now.
Oh.
So, being a kid, you know what I mean? Like, you totally think, like, it was an unavoidable situation, but I was still trying to avoid it, even though I knew I had, like, hurt myself really bad. It's like, you kind of, like, save face.
Did you get in trouble?
No. I didn't get in trouble at all.
Wow.
No, my dad was very concerned about my safety.
Good.
Did
he tell him the truth that you jumped off?
Yeah, he knew. My dad, you see, my dad was never that kind of parent where he would like get mad over things like that because he knows that kids do stupid things. So, he would have just of course, he would have liked me to have told him right when it happened that I really hurt myself. You know, I think we need to go to the doctor, you know. But, yeah, my dad was always very understanding like that. Because my dad, when he was a kid, he, like, jumped off the roof of his garage with an umbrella thinking he could, like, float down, like, in the cartoons. So my dad knows, like, the kind of things that kids do. You know?
Did he break anything?
No, he didn't. But my dad said he's so lucky he didn't. My dad said he did a lot of... He said he did a lot of stupid things.
Thanks for listening to the Imaginary Radio Show. To hear our music and to download more Imaginary Radio Show episodes, please visit www.thewagband.com.